Welcome to the Digital Marketing Insights Podcast, brought to you by Brightside Digital.
Hi everyone, welcome to the show. I'm delighted to say I have Danny on the show today, Creative Director of Done & Dusted. Danny, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'd love to say that Belfast was nice and sunny. We've had great weather all week and it is biblical rain outside. So yeah, I hope you're doing a lot better where you are.
Yeah, it's broken out sunny here in Dublin. But yes, it was a stormy night to say the least. Danny, we always start off the show. Can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your career to date, please?
Sure. So I'm Creative Director of Done & Dusted Design. We do branding, websites, UX, UI, digital marketing for clients all over the world. I started the business about 10 years ago. Year two, opened up an office in New York. And year four, opened up an office in Dubai. And it means that we can generally turn work around within 24 hours, depending where our clients are. In the middle of lockdown, I decided to open another business, Belfast Coffee, and a third business of Viad of CBD oil. So I get the benefit of learning what it's like to be a client and starting those businesses again, which has been really exciting, but certainly a reminder of just how important digital marketing is for startups.
And Danny, obviously, I've worked with you previously. I know how good a designer you are, but can you talk through your process, how you go about creating designs, how you understand a brand and develop a brand once you have an understanding of the brand and industry?
Sure. And do you know, I mean, we've talked about this for so many times. It's very interesting when you talk about brand design and whether you're a startup or whether you're somebody who's maybe 20, 30 years in. And if you've already got, you know, a legacy of some description, that can be a lot harder to rebrand. So we get clients come to us who have maybe just starting up from scratch, or they've maybe been in maybe 20 years and their competitors have maybe done a rebrand. And so it's not necessarily something they've actively chosen, but they're starting to see, okay, we really need to look at the messaging of what we're saying, what's working and what's not. So first and foremost, we have those really honest conversations. Either, you know, it doesn't matter if you're coming fresh to the industry or you've been in it, you have to regroup, reframe and refocus. And that's a term that we say quite a lot in Done & Dusted. And what that means is you have that discovery workshop and you get the buy-in from, you know, the CEO to the people who are answering the phones, and you have a very honest conversation. We call it a discovery workshop. It usually takes like half a day. And you work through what you're trying to say as a company. And a lot of people sort of focus on just getting messages out, get the product or the service, get it out, get some photos, and they don't hit the mark. And unless you do this exercise at the start of really refining, who do we serve and why are we doing this? Why are we getting up in the morning and coming to work? What is the point in this? Do we enjoy it? How do we convey that? And it's working with a brand team that really start to hone this message. And we talk about the why, and it gets very cliche nowadays. What is your why? But it really is an essential tool to know, what are we doing this for? What do we hope to gain? Is there something, you know, for the rest of the industry? We want to shake it up. We want to disrupt. Or are we wanting just to create something? It could be quite personal. It could be, well, we want to actually create a better future for our children. You know, and that sounds, again, very twee, but it can be very real. Working through each person's story, like when I work with clients, a lot of clients come to me and say, there's nothing unique about us. I have this product and service, but it's nothing, there's nothing special about me, Danny. And when you actually take that time to do these discovery workshops, you will be so surprised when someone like us is asking these questions and tell me about why did you set this up? What was your inspiration? All of a sudden you get a language that you can use in your marketing and you get a tone of voice that is 100% authentically you. So right from the start, you get a feeling for who that client is and what they should look like and what industry they're going into. So when it comes to creating the actual visuals for that, it's so much easier because you've got this personality that you can work with. So we look at creating the design work that is reflective of not just who they are, but who they will become. Because we have to future-proof this look and feel and this aesthetic for 5, 10, 15 years per se and get that messaging. So we work with the brand design, then we work through then what we call the digital landscape. So all of those little essence of how that brand has to work. Back in the day, you would have had a brand logo and that would have been set in stone. You would have had your letterhead, business card, compliment slip, and that was it. It was a block. Nowadays, we have so many different software options and so many different socials. The avatars are different shapes and different sizes. The header panels are different, and each of your brand elements has to live comfortably in those spaces, but it also has to be recognizable and consistent across all those touch points. And that can be incredibly overwhelming for a new client, a new startup, where they're trying to operate on all Facebook and Instagram, and should I take a TikTok, all of this type of work. And that needs to be really considered, that everything is consistently put out. So when we work with that secondary side, that's whenever we can take the tone of voice and the messaging right from the beginning of that workshop, and that becomes then your language that you use to talk to your customers, which creates your tribe. Hopefully that can give you a bit of an example of a sort of a 1 to 10 of branding.
Yeah, it's that was fantastic. And Danny, what would you say, like, for people listening, we can all tell how you're very knowledgeable and know how to build out a brand guidelines, a brand vision, brand tone. But what could you give an example of your work, just an example of a campaign that you felt was really successful or something that you've done that you're really proud of?
Yeah, funny, today is 1 year today we worked with ASA Marketing, and we rebranded and relaunched their website today. And that was so exciting. We did a delivery of a workshop with them, and it was the first one to do online because we're in the middle of lockdown. And we had to get a buy-in from everybody in the company online as opposed to sitting around a table and doing it in person. So it was quite challenging, quite daunting, but actually it worked really, really well. And we delved into this, okay, who are we? What are we doing? We've got basically a 40-year legacy. How do we reposition ourselves? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? And trying to get that as a strategy going forward, the big thing for them was they had so much joy in what they do. I've never came across a company that just genuinely loves what they do. They are a corporate gift company. I think they're something like the third largest in Europe. And they really wanted to show how vibrant they are. And they wanted to look at a brand that, how could they demonstrate that they were of the current moment? They had a previous brand that was ASA Marketing, and it looked quite dated, but it was still working a little bit. But working through that discovery workshop, we understood that actually, and it's these things that come from these conversations, right? And one of the CEOs had said, you know, I just love our gifting. Our gift is gifting. And that became a line that we used throughout the campaign. And these nuggets come from those type of conversations, and we worked through that. So we created the brand, but they'd never thought of actually telling the story of the joy when somebody receives some of these corporate gifts, what unboxing is. Now, this is a whole thing I learned about that I'd never seen before, that people actually enjoy opening videos or watching videos of people opening these gifts, which was fantastic. Yeah. So what they already did, we just turned up the volume to that and give them a platform where they could talk directly to their customers and show, look, this is the joy that we bring. Plus, the big thing for them was, they were so passionate about the environment, but they'd never thought about bringing that into their brand messaging. And they made a commitment as a team, which I'm so proud of. They said, okay, look, what we do differently is we actually do look for sustainable corporate gifts. So they looked at their trade distribution of where they could get in to get the products in, like Indonesia and Morocco. And they decided to wholeheartedly commit to sustainable gifting. This immediately set them completely apart from any of their competitors. It was something that they had already done, but wasn't something that they actually thought, okay, we're listening to ourselves. We're listening to what we're committed to, what we're passionate about. Well, let's focus on that. So our gift is giving. That then became then the sustainable gift. They're the only company in that marketplace that does 100% sustainable gifts. And there's a reason why it just went completely skyrocketed whenever they launched the brand. because all of our marketing towards that and all the build up, everything on LinkedIn and engaging with their corporate clients, it just got a huge following from that. So when we had organic marketing from getting the right tone of voice, getting the right messaging, any of the paid ads just made perfect sense because it would already looked at the language were the tribe, I suppose, live online and where we could be really focused on Instagram. And it just became not just a joy to work with, but a very, very successful campaign. And their LinkedIn post this morning was just beautiful. They've just had one hell of a year. And it's a service to them, you know, of just how committed and how passionate they are about sustainable gifting, which is the future.
Love that. What a story. And for anyone kind of listening, and I'm sure loads of people understand the value of 360 and good design and having that. But obviously loads of companies might not have the resources or have the style or know how to do that. What are your go-to recommendations? How can people find sources to understand that as well as like obviously contacting experts like you, but what is the go-tos? How can people learn more about this?
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing, Tom. I mean, we talk about, you know, the likes of that campaign and there's a budget allocated for that. So if you're a startup and you don't have that budget, you know, you're going to have that pressure of, okay, where do I go? If you're listening to this podcast, you've already got the interest. You're already in the right direction. You know, you're looking for the sources online who are the go-to. And there's lots of free material out there that can direct you. In my experience, though, people can get very carried away with the likes of Canva. And yes, that can give you a slightly polished look. Okay, but unless you have sat down and really worked on a marketing plan, it's just pretty pictures and you're just putting pretty pictures out there. And I've worked with clients who've said, oh, you know, we're not really getting much in engagement and, you know, there's not many interactions on LinkedIn. And we look back at what they've been posting. There's been no structure or strategy. And there's lots and lots of free resources out there of even just sitting down and going, okay, let's just focus on one thing and one thing only. And we're going to focus on that for this quarter. We do that. I was saying earlier, you know, regroup, reframe, refocus. That's what we do with our clients every quarter. So regroup, have a look at what's working and what's not. Reframe. Okay, if we're getting a drop-off point, why is that? Have we done A/B image testing? Have we tested if these images are actually connecting with our tribe or our clients or customers? And then tweak it, refocus, put it out there. Maybe take an increased ad spend with some of your Google ads, or even look at what time of day you're posting on LinkedIn. All of these little tweaks. I mean, we drive forward, and if there's a brick wall in front of us, we look at the trajectory and we change direction. Okay, we make these fine tunes. We do that in business as well. We fine tune the direction we go, and we keep going back and taking a step back with perspective and go, okay, what is working and what's not. And I think there's this misconception that everyone else is doing such a great job. And oh my God, they're leading the way. They don't make any mistakes. And it's not like that. It's all to do with how can I start off with one thing, tweak it, get it right, move on to the next. So even if you're small fries, you can still be doing that one thing after another consistently. That's going to put you in a far better position than trying to have a scattergun approach. And, you know, if you're not comfortable working with something visual, if like a Canva, don't be afraid to delegate. It's a big thing that took me and my team a long time to delegate out to the right people. You know, if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to have a great output. So, you know, when you get to the opportunity where you can invest in somebody who wants to, you know, you want to work with for social media, allow yourself that budget, because the stress that you will give yourself is not worth it. It's not worth it.
Brilliant. Spoken like a true experienced pro. And Danny, is there any particular softwares you use to enhance your role?
Well, for branding, we would use the Creative Suite. That's our go-to. We do a lot of UX UI design. And recently we've been working, the past year and a half, we've been using Figma a lot, and that's been really interesting. I'm still not convinced getting customers to work, you know, one-to-one on that is the right way forward. So I'm quite happy to still have the periodic meetings and show them the development and work on screen with them at that particular time. But I'm not a big fan of, you know, giving them a login and being able just to tweak as they go, because it's like if you go to a dentist, you don't reach over and take the tools and then do your own teeth. You know, you have to understand that your expertise is the X amount of years that you've worked through this, and what you're bringing to that client is that refinement, that knowledge. So yeah, Figma is such a great package, and it's just been bought over by Adobe. So yeah, hopefully that'll be part of my monthly Adobe membership.
Brilliant. And to focus on yourself, and it might be leading on from that question, but is there any particular areas you're looking to upskill into and why?
I think using Figma, that's worked really, really well for us. That is something that we're continuing to push and to work more in. You know, we've always done UX, UI work and done app development. What we've done recently with two clients is they had sister companies, and specifically in software. So we're seeing more and more work come through for that. And what we're seeing is that the software developers have constructed, you know, fantastic programs, but have not thought about the design or legibility or very basic up, over, down, hit. They don't, you know, understand the different states, and they don't understand the why. So we've came in quite a lot with that usability models and looking at the avatars of personas, say four different personas, and bringing that more. Figma, we've used that quite a lot for, and it works really well. But it's something that I think our clients don't really think about until you see it, you know, in front of you. You go, oh my goodness, I actually didn't think about Joe, who interacts with Netflix every day, and the division of that UX, UI, what he's used to. So coming across to the software that they've developed, actually we can build in a lot more frames, subframes, submenus, because that's what, as you and I have discussed before, it's mental mapping. What has that mental map consisted of for that person that they already are familiar with, you know? So yeah, that's an exciting development that we're looking forward to for the new year.
I love that. And is there any areas of digital that really excites you that might be coming in the future that you're keeping an eye on, something like that?
I'm really interested in how AI is affecting imagery at the minute. So there's a whole push about AI creating images that are, quote, in the style of a particular artist. But it starts to get you to question, well, where are the image rights for those artists, and how do they get paid? So this is going to be something as we go forward that we need to take quite seriously, that image manipulation and the image ownership, because essentially you could be asking AI to create images for an ad campaign that you are basically saying it's on the style of a certain artist or photographer, and it's then 100% yours because you've created it. So where does that go to the original artist? So that realm is going to be really interesting how that goes forward. And we had our first client last month in the in the metaverse. So that was interesting.
Love that. What were they doing in the metaverse?
Oh, wow. That was like, I felt like I was in Inception. It's like I thought I knew a certain amount, and then I did know, and then there's this whole other aspect. So yeah, designing, branding, and areas within the metaverse is, again, it's a very interesting development, and the real estate there and how that goes. So yeah, that's going to be another exciting time, but I think it's going to be a slow adoption.
Yeah, definitely. Lastly, Danny, we always ask this question to end the show, which is, if you could bottle up one personality trait you have yourself that you could pass on to others, what would it be?
Oh, without a doubt, passion. You gotta love what you do. Like, I remember reading a quote years ago from Nick Faldo, and he says, I feel like I've never worked a day in my life. You know, he loves what he does. I'd be very fortunate if somebody asked me what I do. I just say I draw pictures all day, because that's what it feels like at times, although they're very involved, expensive pictures. But it's you gotta have that passion for what you do. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, I spoke to somebody yesterday, and they are working in a job that they hate, and their pension comes out in 13 years, and they're stuck in this mindset of, oh well, you know, I have to keep going and I get the pension. And I thought, I could not live like that. I just couldn't understand somebody choosing that existence, because you still have to live every day in that space of those 13 years, you know. And certainly what you do for design, branding, for marketing, if you don't love it, you know, it's going to show. And that passion for it and passion for always watching what's happening next and looking at key trends and being excited by new people coming up and what they bring and their ideas, you know, that's got to be part of, you know, what you bring to your team. And also if you're inspiring other people.
I think you're singing to a lot of the audiences that are listening to this podcast because, you know, largely it's a lot of marketers and business owners and, you know, you have to have passion in this particular industry to keep up to date with all the changes, adapting new marketplaces. It's definitely one of the core traits you need in this industry.
Yeah, and it's easy for me to say that because it is what I love to do. So design, branding, that's my life. It's for me, it's telling the story. So, I mean, again, it's distill. It's what I would say to my clients. Try and get your message as succinct as possible, literally as few words as possible. You know, for me, that joy and that what we do, what we bring with clients, all of a sudden you see the client opening up. So because I love what I do, when I'm going into those discovery workshops, when you're met with somebody like a Danny, I'm a disruptor. Okay, so I'm coming in and I'm asking the questions, but all of a sudden the conversation changes and people then absorb your passion for what the company and the branding can be. And it's the same with marketing. You got to be the one that shows the client, look at these other campaigns of what these other people are doing, right? We can be doing the same thing. Let's have a look at our imagery. Get them as excited about where they can go as you can see, because they might have lost that vision along the way of where they really want to be. And by you and your role and your excitement, that can actually make for a much healthier client relationship as well. And you got to just enjoy what you do. And if you have a happy client, that's half the battle.
Yeah, completely right. Danny, thanks so much for being on the show. If anyone wants to touch base with you, how can they touch base?
You can drop me an email at danny@doneanddusteddesign.com or go onto our website and email directly through that or from LinkedIn or Insta.
Love it. Thank you, Danny. And thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you, Tom.